This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger. Pull up a chair for this one, because this is the kind of story that reminds you why we fly. It's the summer of 1948. Berlin is surrounded. The Soviets have shut down every road, every rail line, every canal into the western half of the city. 2.5 million people are about to starve, and the only way to keep them alive is through the air. So the Allied airlift begins. Hundreds of flights a day, C-54s and C-47s stacked up in the corridors like rush hour traffic over Atlanta, except every airplane is hauling flour and coal instead of passengers. It is the biggest air supply operation the world has ever seen, and somewhere in the middle of all of it is a young lieutenant from Utah named Gail Halverson. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. Now, Halverson is a C-54 pilot. He is flying into Tempelhof, which, if you have never seen pictures of it, was a Berlin airport built right in the middle of the city. Apartment buildings on both sides. You came in over the rooftops so close you could see laundry on the clotheslines. The approach was tight, the margins were thin, and you did it over and over and over again because lives depended on it. One day, Halverson has a few hours off. He grabs his hand-cranked movie camera and walks over to the fence at the end of the Tempelhof runway to shoot some film of the airplanes coming in. And there, on the other side of the barbed wire, he finds about 30 German kids just standing there, watching the planes. Now, here's where it gets interesting. These are not the kids waving flags at an air show. These are children who have spent the last 3 years eating whatever they could find in the rubble of a bombed-out city. They are thin, they are quiet, and they are watching the airplanes with a kind of hope that Halverson said he never forgot for the rest of his life. He talks to them through the fence. Some of them speak a little English, and what strikes him is that not one of them asks him for anything. Not chocolate, not gum, not candy. They just thank him. They thank him for the flour, for keeping the lights on, for the sound of those Pratt & Whitney engines overhead that meant the city was still alive. He reaches into his pocket and finds 2 sticks of double mint gum. That is all he has. He breaks them in half and passes the pieces through the fence. And what happens next changes his life. The kids who got the gum unwrapped it slowly, carefully, like it was made of gold. And the kids who did not get any, the ones standing there watching, they passed around the wrappers, and they held those wrappers up to their noses and just smelled them. That was enough. The smell of spearmint gum was a luxury they had not known in years. Halverson stood there and something turned over inside him. He told those kids, "You watch for my airplane tomorrow. I will drop candy to you." They asked how they would know which airplane was his. He said, "I will wiggle my wings." That night, back in the barracks, Halverson and his crewmates pooled their candy rations, Hershey bars, gum, whatever they had. He tied them to handkerchiefs rigged as little parachutes, and the next day, on approach into Tempelhof, he wiggled the wings of his C-54 and dropped the bundles out the flare chute. He did it again the next day, and the next. Within a week, the crowd of kids at the end of the runway had tripled. Letters started arriving at Tempelhof addressed to Uncle Wiggly Wings and the chocolate flyer. Some of the letters had hand-drawn maps showing exactly where the child lived, with an X on the roof and a note that said, "Please drop the candy here." Now Halverson had not told his commanding officer about any of this. He was doing it on his own, figuring that a few handkerchief parachutes were not going to make the evening news. He figured wrong. A reporter caught one of the drops on film. It ran in the newspapers, and Halverson got called into the office of his base commander. A colonel named James Grubb, fully expecting to be chewed out and grounded. Grubb looked at him across the desk and said, "Halverson, what have you been doing?" And before Halverson could stammer through an excuse, Grubb told him the general had seen the news coverage, and the general's reaction was not anger. It was genius. Keep doing it. Do more of it. Operation Little Vittles was born. Candy and handkerchiefs poured in from all over the United States. School children in Chicopee, Massachusetts, tied parachutes by the thousands. Confectioners donated chocolate by the crate. At its peak, the operation was dropping over 1,000 pounds of candy a week over Berlin. Think about what that means. The airlift itself was about survival, 10,000 tons of cargo a day. Coal so people would not freeze, flour so they could bake bread. It was grim, exhausting, dangerous work. 17 American airmen died flying those corridors, but the candy drops, those were about something else entirely. Those little handkerchief parachutes drifting down over the rooftops told a broken city that somebody cared. Not about geopolitics, not about the Cold War, about 30 kids standing at a fence. Halvorsen flew 32 missions during the airlift. He dropped candy on most of them, and after the blockade ended in May of 1949, he thought that chapter was closed. It was not. Decades later, in 2005, an elderly German woman tracked Halvorsen down. She told him she had been one of those children at the fence. She had caught one of his candy bars, and she told him something that stopped him cold. She said it was not the chocolate that mattered. She was hungry, yes, but she had been hungry before, and she survived. What mattered, she said, was that someone in an airplane knew she was there. Someone wiggled his wings, someone saw her. That was the gift. Halvorsen lived to be 101 years old. He passed in February of 2022 at his home in Provo, Utah. Right up until his last years, he was still visiting schools, still telling that story, still tying candy to little parachutes and dropping them for kids at air shows.
I think about him sometimes when I'm taxiing out and I see a kid on the other side of the airport fence, watching that wide-eyed look. That wonder. That is what it is all about. Not the logbooks, not the ratings, not the hours. It is about the kid at the fence. Halvorsen proved that a two-stick piece of gum and a handkerchief can change the world if you deliver it from the right altitude with the right heart. Most of what I shared tonight comes from Halvorsen's own memoir, The Berlin Candy Bomber, and the accounts kept by the Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation. You can find more at radiohanger.com. Wiggle your wings once in a while. You never know who is watching. See you next time.